We have a paradox. Not only have forecasters generally failed dismally to foresee the drastic changes brought about by unpredictable discoveries, but incremental change has turned out to be generally slower than forecasters expected. When a new technology emerges, we either grossly underestimate or severely overestimate its importance. Thomas Watson, the founder of IBM, once predicted that there'd be no need for more than just a handful of computers. That a reader of this book would probably be reading these lines not on a screen, but in the pages of that anachronistic device, the book, would seem quite an aberration to certain pundits of the digital revolution. That you're hearing them in archaic, messy, and inconsistent English, French, or Swahili, instead of in Esperanto, defies the predictions of half a century ago that the world would soon be communicating in a logical, unambiguous, and platonically designed lingua franca. Likewise, we're not spending long weekends in space stations, as was universally predicted 3 decades ago. In an example of corporate arrogance, after the first moon landing, the now-defunct airline Pan Am took advance bookings for round trips between Earth and the Moon. Nice prediction, except that the company failed to foresee that it would be out of business not long after. A solution waiting for a problem. Engineers tend to develop tools for the pleasure of developing tools, not to induce nature to yield its secrets. It so happens that some of these tools bring us more knowledge. Because of the silent evidence effect, we forget to consider tools that accomplish nothing but keeping engineers off the streets. Tools lead to unexpected discoveries, which themselves lead to other unexpected discoveries. But rarely do our tools seem to work as intended. It's only the engineer's gusto and love for the building of toys and machines that contribute to the augmentation of our knowledge. Knowledge doesn't progress from tools designed to verify or help theories, but rather the opposite. The computer wasn't built to allow us to develop new visual geometric mathematics, but for some other purpose. It happened to allow us to discover mathematical objects that few cared to look for. Nor was the computer invented to let you chat with your friends in Siberia. But it has caused some long-distance relationships to bloom. As an essayist, I can attest that the internet has helped me to spread my ideas by bypassing journalists. But this wasn't the stated purpose of its military designer. The laser is a prime illustration of a tool made for a given purpose, actually, no real purpose, that then found applications that weren't even dreamed of at the time. It was a typical solution looking for a problem. Among the early applications was the surgical stitching of detached retinas. Half a century later, The Economist asked Charles Townes, the alleged inventor of the laser, if he had had retinas on his mind. He hadn't. He was satisfying his desire to split light beams, and that was that. In fact, Townes' colleagues teased him quite a bit about the irrelevance of his discovery. Yet just consider the effects of the laser in the world around you. Compact discs, eyesight corrections, microsurgery, data storage and retrieval, all unforeseen applications of the technology. Most of the debate between creationists and evolutionary theorists, of which I do not partake, lies in the following. Creationists believe that the world comes from some form of design, while evolutionary theorists see the world as a result of random changes by an aimless process. But it's hard to look at a computer or a car and consider them the result of aimless process. Yet they are. We build toys. Some of these toys change the world.